Turbulence.
Brain Cigar is brought to you by Furman and Heavey, hygiene nightwear for the landed gentry.
And Fleffler. That's Fleffler, the luxury binder that almost made Coventry smile.
Hello. 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 Chicaro. Chicaro del cranio. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Hello. Ah! Lama beer!
Hello again and welcome back to Brain Cigar.
Ambulance.
Podcast.
Ambulance. Ambulance.
Welcome back indeed. Lots of nice emails, especially about the feature on
Ambulance.
Thank you also to Sean Hicks in Hove, who corrected me on the number of counties in Wales. Says Sean, not 24.
I knew someone would come in with that, yeah.
Yeah, but you included Surrey and Kent, which are actually just over the border in England. Also in the science feature with Professor Sue Keating of the University of East Anglia, she incorrectly stated the boiling temperature of water. The boiling temperature of water is 100 degrees Celsius, not miles.
Maybe a little mansplaining from Sean there, I think. So what about Robert? How's he been behaving?
Same old. I bought a new bed for him on the weekend. I'm a bit tired. I was up all night. It's like a style of a bunk bed, kids' bunk bed. But it's not a bunk bed. Does that make any sense?
No,
it's
like a bunk bed style. I got one of those for my youngest. It's mid sleeper or a sky bed or something like that. Okay. I think they're called.
I mean, that's the only trouble is because it is a kid bed size. That's problematic with Robert, obviously. You know, because he's a tall bloke. He's 6'2".
Most of the time.
Just thinking, there may be people because we lost the first few shows.
I don't know what the hell we're talking about, probably.
I should explain. Robert is the former Archbishop of Canterbury, Robert Runcie. Incredible man.
He led the Church of England for a very long time and through some very turbulant moments, I think it's fair to say.
Very sadly passed away, of course, in 2000. But now he lives with me half the week and the other half with Jez. I'm sure you know this. Sorry if you heard this. Are you picking him up tonight, by the way?
I can do, yeah. Well, at 6?
Yeah.
Can you give him his dinner first, yeah?
Yeah. Well, what passes for dinner with that guy? Well, means he keeps coming, he keeps coming to me.
Right. Don't envy that.
And saying, Uncle Peter, I'm terribly sorry, but my bunk bed seems to have got smaller in the night. I mean, it can't be me. And I got up to have a poo. And I'm, Robert, for fuck's sake, I'm trying to sleep here, you know? So sorry, it was a really late night. I let him come in the room eventually. He promised he'd just play in the corner. But of course, every time I try and fall asleep, he's all like, Uncle Peter, I'm very good. I think you'll find actually that I'm excellent. I mean, and I said, Robert, for fuck's sake, you're dead. You died in 2000. I need to sleep. I got the podcast in the morning.
Right. You know, I mean, there are all kinds of ways out of this. Robert's as irritating and unpredictable as he is, he is easily appeased. Get the old misshapen white plastic toys.
Tried that.
What about have you contacted the Robert flies?
The flies with the faces of Robert now. No.
He kind of likes them in his room. I don't know why. I think they sort of illuminate sometimes.
I know. Okay. So, I was thinking about calling up the service station, Robert.
Yes, you could do. Yeah. I know that they're doing kind of odd shifts at the moment. Service station Robert 1 will be at Scratchwood, and 1A will probably be like at Aust.
Right. Anyway, it was a fucking...
Last week he was actually pretty good, but the week before he just starts. He'll stand there in conversation with you, and he'll have like Father Roachford to his left, Father Love to his right. And, you know, they'll be talking about some kind of ecumenical matter or whatever. I mean, and then Robert will suddenly go quiet. And he'll have a big, broad grin across his face. And I think that's when we kind of know what's happened.
He lifts the cassette to show.
Yeah. Sometimes I think I preferred him when he was alive.
So, Daddy, where is our garden? Oh.
Okay. It's time to raise some money. And on the show, we've got Anna Haverhill, who lives in Bath. She emailed us with her story a couple of weeks back. Anna, welcome.
Thank you.
Sorry, can you speak a little bit closer to the mic?
Thank you.
So, Anna, can you tell us your story?
My sister Jenny has a rare degenerative eye disorder. It's currently
considered incurable, and I'm trying to raise money for her, but not the usual way, by crowdfunding or forming a charity. What I've decided is just to donate 100% of the profits from my invention.
Invention?
And I've calculated, and I have had this independently verified, that this will raise 10 million for research that could finally find a cure for my sister Jenny's rare degenerative eye disorder.
Wow. And, what, you plan to give the whole lot to the cause for the eye disorder?
I do.
Right. You might want to get nearer the mic.
It's just we're not very clear.
Yeah, I'm struggling to hear anything.
Yeah. Can you try saying, tell us what you had for breakfast.
Oh, I just had some toast.
Okay, thank you.
Right.
All right, well,
egg from yesterday.
It's in the fridge, yeah?
Well, I just left it on the hall.
Should be careful with that.
Some people do.
How's your stomach?
A bit bubbly.
Okay. Look, tell us about the invention.
Well, on holiday with my sister and her family last year, we were trying to focus on something other than her rare degenerative eye disorder. And I noticed how my niece, when we were going through the airport, loved to ride on a wheeled suitcase.
Okay.
It looked really fun, and I had to go, actually.
Oh.
And it felt really nice between my legs, or whizzing along the suitcase. Anyway, I thought, you know what? What would be really fun would be to turn that into a scooter, because children love scooters, and we really ride it. We could be like a character with a name, or like a unicorn, bear on the front or something. And I thought, I'm really proud of this. I thought it could be called Scootcase.
Those things are great.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The Scootcase.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, Lucy's got one.
No, they haven't been. I haven't made it yet. I'm just talking to the patent men.
Right. Well, I mean, there's something similar out there, isn't there? I mean,
what do you mean?
Well,
I've designed this for my sister's rare degenerative eye disorder.
No, I appreciate that, and I think what you've done is very noble. It's very kind.
But you are, I'm presuming,
a piggy or a doggy face or even a celebrity face.
I'm assuming you haven't. I mean, you haven't told your sister that that you're going to raise
definitely that it's going to happen. We're going to raise the money for your degenerative eye disorder from all the sales of the scooter case, because that's going to go. It's going to go global.
Yeah.
People like Kanye West's children could ride it.
No, she needs to know. The scoot case exists. You can get them on Amazon. No, they're actually called scoot case.
Please,
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for your pain.
It's a lovely idea, but...
It's an amazing idea.
Yeah, I mean... Right, You've got some other ones. Yeah, right. Should we maybe talk about those instead?
Travel dog bed. I think they exist as well. I'm sorry.
Right.
Automated cat feeder when away.
I kind of had one of those about 20 years back for Nelson.
Portable battery. If your mobile phone dies.
It's a great idea, but it exists.
Contactless payment.
Surely you know about contactless payment.
Loyalty cards for the zoo.
It probably does exist.
Okay.
Pete, I think...
A gun attached to a helium balloon.
that one doesn't exist.
Okay, well...
How is it? It doesn't exist. You've crossed that. You've got there. I don't know how you're going to raise £10 million.
A machine for farmers that emits a noise that makes the cows go to sleep quicker.
Well, if you can,
why would that raise money?
A weighing scale that weighs mice.
I don't know. That one I quite liked, actually.
Sorry, what's that?
Well, if you've got a problem of mice in your house and it catches them and traps them, then you can weigh them before you dispose of them. You can weigh them, and then at the end of the year, you'll be able to compare the weight of the mice to the previous year to see if your mouse problem is getting better or worse.
Well, I quite like that one.
Why don't you just count? Well, I mean, I don't. Why don't you just count the mice?
It's more accurate to go by the weight.
No, I think she's got a point here. This means not having to handle.
And you've got a special
rodents.
Mouse bag, a mouse
sack.
Yeah,
there you go.
You can pop them in.
I'd go with that one. Forget the bloody scoot case.
Do you think that could raise the 10 million?
I don't know about 10 million, but I think you might.
Just,
you know,
just,
you might sort of make enough to keep the thing in business for a couple of years. Sorry, I probably shouldn't have said that. It's you know, it's great.
Well, I'm
just such a difficult condition. She's got it so rare, this degenerative eye condition.
You keep saying rare degenerative eye disorder, and what's it called?
Well, it's because it's so rare.
Doesn't have a name?
Really, really rare. The doctors won't let me tell you the name because they say it could worsen things.
How's that? Is that like, does that cause some kind of stimulation, like irritation or something like that? Or?
Pardon?
Sorry, I can't. I'm not going to make you say the name. I know you're not allowed to.
I'm not allowed to. The doctors might have me killed.
I still don't know how weighing mice sure that, is a better way of tracking the number of mice than actually just counting
them.
I've
tried it. Really works.
I'm down with that one. I think that one's okay.
You weigh the mice. Are they dead? Is it like a trap that starts?
Sometimes they're dead, sometimes they're disabled.
Anne Haverhill, thank you very much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And the best thank of luck you, with Anne. Your sister's rare degenerative
eye disease that we can't name.
Thank you.
The mouse thing, that's the one I'd go with.
Okay.
Let's just count the fucking things.
Daddy, I've done been arguing with the refrigerator again. That guy is a jerk.
It's now time to go to Throat Church and the Architecture of Bacon. Before that, though, one or two have emailed in to express their feelings about this particular item, which you have to say has nothing to do with us.
Choose carefully. Don't read that
this
one.
This is from Alex and Doug, who live in Dumfriesshire. It says, "Dear Pete and Jez, enjoy most of Brain Cigar, but why do you keep letting that old bloke on with his rambling? It's shit."
I said don't read that bit.
Well, go on then. Answer them.
Right, look, what it is that in order to make this podcast, we have to hire a certain number of minutes from this provider.
And that load of shit, as they said, basically keeps us in line with requirements.
For Christ's sake, Pete.
All right, here's another email. Douglas, another Doug, has emailed all the way from Colorado. That's amazing. He writes, "Hi guys, like the podcast, but my wife Candice makes me listen in the shed. Last week I was listening to that throat weirdo when a fucking elk stuck its head through the window and nearly made me shit my pants. Keep up the good work, and maybe, to coin one of his phrases, lose that throat guy."
Great. Okay, the architecture of bacon. It should be said that there are those who rather fancy that the writing has been on the wall for Morgan Brothers ever since peacocks came into Tenby. I've heard whispering among peacocks that they might care to take over the Morgan Brothers leisure wear department. But peacocks being a lot larger and with a greater range of gentlemen's gift options. I don't know for sure where others might stand, but I'm not certain that I'd ever be prepared to accept any kind of gift from peacocks. The fact remains that I've viewed peacocks with suspicion from the very beginning, believing them to be angling for the popular vote, with their preference for flamboyant colour and their tendency toward impermeable fabric. I'm even told that peacocks have been approaching people in the high street in order to attract them into their premises, which I feel to be a very regrettable turn of events. Gregory says that we need to compete with peacocks. Perhaps even meet peacocks face on, which is a thought that has of late rather caused my slumber to become fragmented. This said, I believe that the boy has started talking to peacocks during his lunch hour, which I shouldn't imagine will come as much of a surprise to anybody. that might make for a somewhat disturbing sight to the onlooker. Lose that.
I would have thought.
Hidden Hollywood. Those of you who recall the podcast that fell foul to that rather convenient server crash of which Peter spoke recently will, of course, remember the tale of Anne Bancroft's 1971 Colchester Beer Festival meltdown. Here's another. Hidden Hollywood.
Jack Nicholson, are you sure about that?
Yeah. I remember watching it. Well, I remember watching some of it. I used to have school when I on a Saturday morning.
Jesus Christ. I mean, how the fuck does Jack Nicholson end up on Swap Shop?
Well, it's pretty well documented, Pete. I mean, he was on promoting The Postman Only Rings Twice.
That's not a kid's film. It's
I know,
scary.
I know. But the story went was that they booked Maggie Smith.
Okay.
She was going to promote Clash of the Titans.
Bloody hell, she was
that. But she had mumps.
Mumps.
Well, something like that. I don't know.
Come on. I mean, but all right. She's to get rid of Jack. Well, they lost poor Maggie Smith to mumps, but
yes,
Jack Nicholson as a replacement.
Yeah, well,
now, come on. What the fuck? Well,
MGM. Yeah. Same studio for both films. So they offered him instead.
Yeah.
Okay. So it turns out he'd been in London 6 months earlier, and get this, he really liked Swap Shop. Well, he liked the swap element.
Well, I can imagine him swapping wives.
No, seriously. He's a known collector of action figures. He said in an interview with Esquire that he saw the programme while staying at the Savoy when The Shining was being premiered.
Jesus Christ, that's what an image. I mean, the thing is, somebody at the BBC must have thought his work was a bit adult for something like Swap Shop, though.
No, they did.
Yeah.
The story is that there was a massive row about an hour before transmission. Somebody hadn't told the producer that Maggie Smith wasn't coming in. So, of course, Noel Edmonds is livid. It was partially Maggie Philbin's doing because she had a massive crush on Nicholson.
Oh my God.
So she apparently okayed it all behind everyone else's back. Nearly got herself fired. Right. The story goes that she parked herself outside his dressing room most of the morning when she was supposed to be on air judging a kid's Eiffel Tower making competition.
So anyway, go back to the show. What happens on the show? Did he talk to the kids? Was he nice to the kids?
Nicholson, he politely refused to sit on the beanbags and be interviewed by a bunch of 10-year-olds. But, he agreed to do the phone and he was charm personified up to that point. He wanted an original 1967 G.I. Joe Marine figure in fatigues.
What was he swapping?
He had some kind of hat from the film that was signed by both him and Christopher Lloyd. So,
Christopher Lloyd, as in Doc Brown from
Back he was
to the
he was in Postman Only Rings Twice.
Oh my God! Doing the same character? I mean, I guess hat from the Postman Only Rings Twice. I don't know what value it would have to little kids because they wouldn't even have seen the film. But I mean, did anyone out there have a G.I. Joe? I mean, this is
this kid. So this is what happens. This kid called Bryce calls in and says that he has an Action Man Marine instead.
Yeah.
And of course, that's when it all kicks off. Like Nicholson, who was he was clearly shit-faced.
Oh my God.
He said something like, "Action Man, that little fucking bitch." They had that 7-second delay thing, so you didn't hear him say the F word, but bitch you could sort of make out.
Jesus. I mean, I guess people could get away with that back then.
Sort of,
that
I suppose.
Of thing, yeah. I mean, mind you, then again, not at 10:30 in the morning.
No. Well, it was quite shocking. I mean, Edmonds made some lame excuse and then they quickly cut to Hong Kong Phooey.
Right, and what, then got rid of him during the cartoon? Or,
well, no. This is the whole point. If you look at the footage, he's still there at the end. They kept him on set. You know, he stayed for the cartoons. And then he did the closing sequence with Keith Chegwin and one of the Rubettes.
Right.
Maggie was trying to get close to him, but if you look at the video, she's being held back by a couple of security guys.
Jesus Christ, I need to see this. Yeah. Is that it?
Not quite, no, because you know that Grandstand was recorded in the next studio and they went out live directly after Swap Shop.
Yeah.
Well, apparently Nicholson somehow got in.
He starts getting to Grandstand?
Yeah, he got onto the set. They hadn't quite gone live yet, but he... He apparently started pelting Frank Boff with some Bakewell tarts that he'd stolen from Delia Smith. Oops.
Oh, apparently, my God. Yeah, there was pastry and shit everywhere.
Shit. Is that the end of it then?
No, then he tried to dismantle the football results caption board, saying it was a pussy's game and all that stuff. And he finally gets apprehended while singing All You Need Is Love over a link to the canoe finals from Helsinki.
Canoe finals? Christ, I think I'd rather listen to Nicholson.
Daddy, I did not say no cuss word in front of my grandpappy. Oh.
Time for a few more listings. Awful, the starving gut beast of Hades, brings his 10,000 jagged teeth and terrifying songs and filth and regret to Kidspace in Putney from November the 11th all the way up to Christmas. It says here, children, young and old, come join in the fun with Awful as he takes you on a harrowing 9-hour adventure into the empty, crumbling soul of a creature so foul it's barely even alive anymore. Under threes go free if they participate.
Okay, sounds intriguing. Burstbat, a favourite of the 45 to 46-year-old brigade, will again be performing his one-man show at the Coach and Horses in Lewisham. Jokes, anecdotes, songs, gurgles, and something we think may be a murder confession. Supported by the Klaxon That Wouldn't Die, whoever they are.
Smokey Butterfly are on again at Collierswood Community Centre.
Jesus, why can't they just leave it alone? I mean,
Christ knows. I mean, this week it's apparently our selection of Whitesnake covers, plus the finals of the annual Ed Stewpot Stewart Impressionist competition.
Christ.
Fuck's sake, how long ago is he? Also, we've been asked to let people know there's a members-only matinee screening of Cinema Verite Epic When the Fruit Started to Happen at the Brixton Ritzy on Monday afternoon. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it says here, one sensitive Dutchman's fight to be examined in private by an ex-army cadet. Stars Gregor Fisher, Halle Berry and a young Clodagh Rogers.
Great. I think that'll do us.
That's about it, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, cheers.
Flefle. That's Flefle.
You've been listening to Brain Cigar and...
Ambulance.
...production.
Don't believe in, sir. No, sir.